The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, you're welcome back to the programme. Community got information on the way, by the way. That's coming up for you shortly. But some of your comments here. There's far too much homework at secondary level. There's little to no time for anything in the evenings and it spills over into the weekends. There's no job that would expect you to have a full day at work and then come home and work again a few hours. And I think an interesting point was made before 10 in that, you know, students who are well capable, it probably bores them. They're probably doing stuff they already know. And for those that might struggle a little bit at school, it's incredibly frustrating and time-consuming. It really is. It's inefficient, isn't it? My daughter's school relies so much on the use of phones for their work, so they're on the phone so much. The art of communication and conversation is gone, believes the caller. There's a concerned citizen here looking to make people aware, particularly around Lifford, that a number or group of male immigrants arrived in Ballandrate overnight on buses to reconditioned homes. They say they talk about where the refugees are from or immigrants are from. I'm not sure. But they're concerned that they're not women and children, that they're men. It's not the only place. I think it was Lower Main Street, Letterkenny. There was a bus pulled up last night with people seeking refuge here. So it's not just Lifford, Letterkenny as well overnight. And we're already getting some people concerned as it relates to the pressure on services here, that it's already, people already struggle to access services and that this could make the situation even worse. Let's see. Also, we were talking yesterday about a lady who had a really high electricity bill. Her house is really well insulated. She's got a water pump, a heat exchange pump, whatever it's called, solar panels, smart meter. And she got a bill for November, December for $5.90. And the caller says, you should not let anyone install a smart meter as you cannot avail of a cheaper rate of electricity. We had that one yesterday as well. Caller says her husband was sent to Ballykelly for surgery, has VHI. The surgery was covered by the VHI, but the hospital requested the x-rays done in Ballykelly also prior to the surgery. They were then sent a bill without being made aware that they would have to pay for it and were told that it was not covered by the VHI as it was through outpatients. Can they request x-rays without advising that this is an additional cost? Back to the electricity. I wonder, does this lady send in her meter readings? I send my reading in every 2 months because the law, by law, the ESB is only entitled to read meters once a year. Listeners, please send in your own readings. It works for me. On estimated bills, there are people who've started sending in readings and it didn't work for them. So it's one thing I'd be a little bit cautious of. Air to water uses more electricity, so the bill will be higher. But the thing is this lady had air to water for the last 2 years and there wasn't an issue. The bills were really quite low. It was only in November and December of this year. But maybe are the motors working harder because it's colder. Greg, the back of Argyll Road is in a serious mess. A lot of debris from tar and chips loose. Could be a bad accident, says another listener there. Good morning, Greg. Perhaps you or your listeners may be able to shed some light on the scene of the explosion in Creasler over 3 months ago. What happened on October 7th last year has had a devastating impact on our community and in particular on those who lost loved ones. The forensic examination of the site has been completed. The Garda cordons have been removed. The road has been reopened and life has returned to a different kind of normal. The site itself is surrounded by a wooden hoarding and, for the most part, is not visible to passing traffic. However, approximately one third of the original building looms large above the wooden surround. The macabre view is of a building that has the appearance of having been sliced down the middle. The interior of rooms with furniture and pictures hanging on the walls are clear for all to see. How can the community move on if they have to view this unsavoury site daily and indeed multiple times daily? I've not been impacted directly by what happened on that awful day, but I can only imagine how this grim view must hurt the families who've lost loved ones. Why, when the rest of the site has been levelled, is this portion left to stand? Can the healing process begin in earnest while this remains the case? And we got that in via email.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
Okay, 17 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 24th of January, 2023. And it's time for the latest edition of Community Garda Information. We're joined in studio by Garda Grainne Doherty of the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning, Grainne.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you with us. Thanks so much for calling in. Right, I suppose we'll get straight into it. And you're looking for the public's help in relation to a criminal damage incident in Letterkenny.
Yeah, this incident happened at the Grange in the early hours of Wednesday, January 18th, so in and around between midnight and 7 a.m. So the driver's window of a car in that area was smashed. The ignition of the car was tampered with. And so we appeal to anybody who lives in that area, they may have seen or heard something between those hours, or anybody who may have travelled through that area between those times, who had a dash cam or who noticed any suspicious activity, just to make contact with us in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
Now, your colleagues in Ballyshannon investigating an incident on the Nather Road in the town.
Yeah, and it's a rather unusual one, yeah. So this criminal damage incident happened at a private residence on the Nather Road on Tuesday the 17th at approximately in around 7 p.m. So the wires to a CCTV system at that residence were cut. So again, we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in that area in around 7 p.m. on Tuesday the 17th of January. If they had a dash cam, that would be of great benefit to us, if they could drop it into the station and we can go through the footage then ourselves. So if anybody can assist with this investigation in any way, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. Confidential line as well, Garda Confidential line, can be reached as always on 1800 666 111.
And as far as we know, the criminal damage was the cutting of the wires of the CCTV.
Cutting off the wires, yeah. The power was just totally cut off to the CCTV system. So it's a rather unusual incident, yeah. You know, and we're eager to get to the bottom of that one.
Right, I can imagine. Gardaí investigating a road traffic collision in Buncrana now.
Yeah, this happened on the St Mary's Road there in Buncrana on Thursday the 19th in and around 10 to 10 at night. So a car was attempting to turn out of a parking area onto St Mary's Road. They had intended on turning on out towards the Cock Hill Road. But when they were turning out, they were struck by a quad. It was coming along the St Mary's Road in the direction of the Cock Hill Road also. So damage was caused to the car. Now, the driver of this quad didn't stop. They continued onwards on their journey. The driver wasn't injured, luckily and thankfully for that. But damage was caused to the car. So we appeal to anybody who witnessed the incident itself, or if they've seen this quad in and around the town environs, we would appreciate if they would contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540. And again, with every appeal, we're appealing for dash cam footage also. If
it's just a standard part of the appeals now, because it's such a useful tool for the Gardaí.
It is, of course, yes. So if anybody captured this quad bike on their dash cam footage, we would ask them to contact the Gardaí in Buncrana also.
So, of course, I mean, it's in and around the time. You don't necessarily have to have captured the incident itself for it to be useful to the Gardaí.
Not at all, no. Just if they captured the quad in any area within Buncrana town. And also, just on that note, just so, and we have mentioned this before, for drivers off quads, and look, they're mostly used for agricultural purposes, but to have to use a quad on a public road, it's the same regulations really that apply to any MPV, a car, a van or otherwise. You know, you have to, that has to be registered. You have to be fully insured. You have to have the appropriate license to drive it, taxed. It has to be in a roadworthy condition, and you have to be wearing a helmet also. So just to make people aware of that, reiterate that message this morning also.
Okay. Criminal damage incident at St Connell's in Letterkenny.
Yeah, so this Gardaí discovered this car, damaged car. It was a silver Toyota Vitz, partial registration 09WH. And it was in at the rear of St Connell's Hospital. And it's quite a secluded area in there, you know, and at the very back of the old hospital. So this was discovered at 5:45 a.m. on Monday the 23rd of January. And quite significant damage was caused to the front bumper of the car. The driver's side window was smashed, the ignition was damaged, and it was actually removed from the car also. So we appeal to anybody who had been in and around that area, in and around St Connell's Hospital, the grounds of it, if they noticed any suspicious activity in or around those grounds between 1:30 a.m. and 5:45 a.m. to make contact with Gardaí. A patrol of the grounds had been conducted in around 1:30 a.m. and the vehicle hadn't been there at that stage. So we have a time frame for it arriving at that location. So if anybody thinks they may have captured this car in question on their dash cam footage again in or around the environs of Letterkenny at any stage in the early hours of Monday morning, again, we would appreciate if they could make that footage available to us also.
You know the owner of the vehicle?
Well, the registration of the vehicle is there, all right, but yeah. Inquiries are ongoing.
All right, that is
part of the fuller investigation.
Okay,
yeah.
Get you. We heard a bit yesterday about these community engagement meetings.
Yeah, and I know, look, we're becoming quite repetitive about these meetings that have been mentioned now last week, and I know Sergeant Wallace was on yesterday mm-hmm. about it also, but we just wanted, it's a great opportunity for members of the public. We would often receive, you know, correspondence from members of the public in relation to maybe issues that are happening in their area that matter to them, you know, and they wanted to bring it to the Gard's attention. This happens on a regular basis. These meetings are a great opportunity for Gardaí to meet their local community, members of their local community, and we want to hear from them. We want to hear what their issues are, what they feel, you know, that the Gard should be concentrating, you know, the areas that they should be concentrating on in their local area. It's also an opportunity for us to go through the new, I know Sergeant Wallace went through this with you, the new policing plan, and he will offer crime prevention advice and home security advice also. So community policing Gardaí from the local areas will be in attendance at these meetings also. So it's going to be an open forum. You know, members of the public will have their say at these meetings also. And that's what we want. We want to receive the feedback from them. You know, mm-hmm. we want to hear their opinions and their concerns. So the first meeting actually took place in Lifford last night. Now, they were very pleased with the turnout at last night's meeting. And we thank everybody who came to last night's meeting. So the two further meetings are due to take place. The next one is actually this Wednesday, coming Wednesday the 25th. That will take place in the Finn Valley Centre in Stranorlar at 10 a.m. Then Monday the 30th, so next Monday, in the Station House Hotel at 7 p.m. So we invite everybody to come along and to have their say, and we look forward to meeting them there.
Right, okay. It's almost like playing whack-a-mole with the scammers, isn't it? Because as soon as we've sort of tried to make the public aware about one scam, then another one pops up. But this is off the back of a contact made to the Gardaí by a member of the public.
It is. And so, look, we mentioned scams quite often also, but often it's the same type of scams that we're discussing. So this member of the public approached us this week, and he actually requested that it be mentioned on the radio slot this morning to make others aware, because it isn't a new scam. It has been on the go for quite a while, but some members of the public might not be aware of it. So this man received a Facebook message actually from somebody who was purporting to be his friend. You know, a fake profile had been set up. They requested that he buy Amazon gift cards and to forward the codes onto him in exchange for cash. So this man was unable to buy the Amazon gift cards, but he did go on to buy Apple iTunes gift cards for the amount of €400. He sent a photo, as requested, of the codes on the gift cards to this person who had been conversing with him, as he thought it was his friend. You know, he thought it was someone he could trust. So as soon as these codes were sent to that Facebook profile, that profile was deleted, leaving this man at a monetary loss now. So it's not a new scam, you know. Gift cards scams often begin by pressurising victims into buying a gift card. Scammers trick their victims into revealing the gift card number and PIN. And then these scammers immediately redeem the gift card. They gain their confidence by pretending to be someone else, such as a government employee, a family member, or a romantic interest, or, as in this case, a friend. So a fake profile is created and contact is made. So it's an anonymous, nearly impossible, you know, this type of fraud is impossible to reverse. It gets immediate results. Fraudulent charges and credit cards can be cancelled, but gift card charges aren't, and they can't be. Mm. So paying with a gift card is like paying in cash, and once that's gone, once you've given that code over, that's gone for good. You know, you're at the loss. So we just want people to be vigilant and listen. If they receive a similar type of request to purchase gift cards, just stop and think. Ask somebody else's advice. You know, ask somebody's advice.
But
come
you see,
to
the
us.
Problem is, and this is why it's so clever, is that you people that you're close to or you see regularly on Facebook, their profile picture is familiar.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
pops up in Messenger. Then if you want to check who they are, you have to click it. Then you have to go into profile. And do you know what I mean? So you can see how people fall for it. And these fraudsters, they can have 2,000 of these open and communicate. Yeah. They only need two or three, and they've made £1,200.
Of course, and if
do you know, and it's so easy for them.
Yeah, and if you receive, and yourself or myself, if you receive a messenger message from somebody who you know is a friend, you're familiar with them, you converse often with them, it's not something really you do. You don't go onto their profile to check.
No,
is it a scam page? It's just, like, you know, you're not going
to
do
that. You would say, you wouldn't say, what, is that a different face you're wearing today? You just accept it's them.
You would accept it's them, yeah. But it is a rather unusual request, really. You know, even if a friend of mine messaged me and it was sure it was them asking me to send them on €400 or €500 of Amazon gift card codes, they'd be told no.
I was going to say, anyone who knows me, if they were looking for a €10 top up, they'd be wasting their time.
A flat out no.
But this gentleman, obviously, they're preying on people's generosity and trust, and we just unfortunately have to check ourselves, you know, which is sad because you have to check what makes you a good person. Yeah. You know, that generosity and that helping a friend out. And it's kind of sad, that side of it as well. But look, we have to try it, and as much as we can, save people from these scams. And there's other scams going around on Facebook at the moment that they're not scams in it from a Garda perspective at this time, but there's an awful thing going at the moment where people are sharing fake missing persons or fake missing dogs or what have you, and people's goodwill, they share them. They're generally in buy and sell pages, and if you look at them, they're clearly frauds, but they get sent and circulated. And then what happens is they change the profile and change the message in the post, and it's been spread all over Facebook. And a lot of it is to exploit people.
Yeah, there's often an emotional element to it. You see them as well. Maybe I found this dog, he's badly injured, and they've up a photo of a dog, poor dog, maybe with a bloodied leg, you know, and we're eager to find the owner. Yeah. But when you notice those buy and sell pages, that's where they post these scams too. But there's never an option to comment. It's always, you know, or share, but they don't. For good reason.
So they edit that post then that's been widely shared, or the page, but generally the post, and it's a scam generally. It's about Bitcoins, but it's a friend of yours that shared it.
Yeah.
So if I trust you and you've shared a missing dog, right, that post then might appear to be invest in Bitcoin, but they've got you to share it, and that makes me sort of...
That's the aim of their game,
But anyway... No. But, and another thing too, people, because they also try and exploit our nosiness. You haven't been hacked or cloned. You opened Messenger and it says, look what I found, and you click the link. Okay. Yeah. And it's so tempting to do so because sometimes people think it's about them. And once you do that, they're able to access your private information. So.
Yeah, it's coming to the stage where you're too afraid to click a link in anything now, you know, whether it be a Messenger, a text message, you know, and that generally would be the advice. It's the safest way to go, you know, and in relation to all scams, and we were repetitive in relation to this also, but just we do, unbelievably, there still are a vast amount of people who are clicking the links within text messages. They are.
Of course.
And we've received notifications recently too in relation to the, it has been mentioned before, but in relation to these HSE scam messages.
Mm. You've been a close contact.
Contact, you know, to order tests, or, you know, we need further information and you have to click this link. And the HSE have made it clear that they will not send out messages like that, you know.
We have a package for you, but you have to pay such and such. Now, that's kind of complicated because sometimes you do get contacted, but again, these, because there's been a massive move to online sort of digital scamming by criminals.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're throwing an awful lot of knowledge and resources in this area because it's kind of hard now to scam someone in real life. Do you know, someone used to go up and say, you know, well, I'm stuck, can I get money for a bus or something? You know, it's hard work. You have to stand out. You have to do it face to face.
Yeah.
This is easy for them.
It is. And, you know, funny, that or the MPOS scam or any delivery company, it was on the go a lot during COVID because people were ordering online a lot more. But I got a recent message from, I think it was MPOS, it wasn't from MPOS, but they were purporting to be from MPOS, to say that, you know, there's a customs charge due on, and I'm ordering all the time online, so you don't know, you start to doubt it. You wonder, have I a charge to pay? But, there was a link contained in that message, so I didn't click the link anyway. I ignored that one. But about a week later, I got a message from Ann Post to say that there is a customs charge due in a package that you've ordered. But I just noticed within that text, there was no link contained in that text.
Right.
It advised me to go to the Ann Post website.
Ah, okay.
And to input my tracking details and that. So then I did do that, and it turned out there was a genuine charge that had to be paid. So I would say just any text message. Don't click the link. That's it. Just end of story.
100%. Now, unfortunately, it's ever. It's all round, all year round now, you know, dog attacks and dogs worrying sheep and other animals. But obviously, I think particularly we're coming into a period of time now whereby, you know, this is people's livelihood, their income, and an awful lot of effort, money being spent to, you know, breed sheep, raise sheep. You've a warning about preventing sheep attacks here.
I do. We received a recent report actually within the Letterkenny area of sheep that had been attacked by a dog, and a number of those sheep are still missing actually, and one of them was quite badly injured. So we just want to remind dog owners, it is going to be coming in, it's near the end of January now, and lambing season is going to start very soon. So just to remind people, you know, of the harm that their pets can cause if they allow them to roam free and unsecured and they're not kept under effectual control. So with dog ownership comes responsibility. Secure your dog, have it microchipped and registered with your vet. And, you know, lambing season, we're going to see every year we do see a surge in attacks on sheep. So that's what we're trying to prevent, that really. We're just trying to advise people. Dogs should not be allowed to roam. So we're asking all dog owners, keep their family pet, you know, under effectual control.
Yeah. And that also applies to people out having a nice walk with their dog, because the dog barking at the gate or whatever can also worry and trouble sheep as well.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's not just the dog that escapes at night or whatever. Because, you know, people can end up with very hefty bills if they're found, if it's found that their dog's responsible. It's not just the lovely wee pet that's turned into an animal, which it is anyway. But you know what I mean? There can be quite a hefty sanction as well. All right, Grainne, thank you.
No problem.
All right, thank you very much indeed. That's Grainne Doherty there, Letterkenny Garda Station. Don't forget, you'll be able to rewatch this appeal back on our social media a little later on and on the An Garda Síochána Síochána Facebook page, which is a useful tool now for the Gardaí for helping spread information, Grainne.
It is. Actually, do you know what? Just when you're on that note as well, I will stop now in a minute. I won't keep talking on you.
But go on ahead.
No, just on that note as well, I would just like to ask people that people do regularly message our Facebook page via DM, and that's okay. There's no problem. You know, if they have a general query, there's absolutely no issue with that and the query will be answered. But I would ask people that if they have a matter of urgency to report, not to DM our Facebook
page. It's not
page,
always you know. Monitored.
It's not monitored. It is monitored response. Regularly, yeah. But just yeah. not 24/7. Okay. And if they want an emergency response, contact, you know, the four district headquarters are, as always, in the case of an emergency, contact 999.
Yep, I think that's sound advice. Okay, we'll be back with more after the break.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
The 9 to Noon Show, brought to you by Kelly's Toyota, where you can care for your car with Toyota Relax, giving you a year's warranty with your service. Terms and conditions apply.
Má tátú ag gompar clinne, tóirí de vaccíní flú agus COVID-19, an breisú atá ag testáil do de chóras na mínachta chun tú a chosans na mína mach groin. Déadú an flú agus COVID-19 a bheith mar cúst le tínastrom chúsach, agus tú ag gompar clinne, agus cáróid de chuid vaccíní leat tú féin agus de lenna fa chosans. Cár crinne vaccíne ar de lista de rodí atá le déna fa gud, nó leir le de ghochtúr nó le de bhean chárach. Tello Olus at hse.ie or I'm an acht na services lanta.
Glenswillie GAA present a 25-car drive in the clubhouse this Friday night, the 27th of January, starting at 7, with €1,500 in prizes. This ad is kindly sponsored by Boyle Construction.
Like to eat well and get healthy size savings? Then you'll really like our Aldi Savers offers with up to 43% off, including Coco Loco Coconut Oil, save 43%, now only £1.99. Ballymore Crust Sandwich Thins, save 25%, now only 89 cents. Specially selected Irish pasta sauces, save 19%, now only £1.49. And tasty healthy soups, save 13%, now only £1.99. I don't like it, I love it. Aldi, every day amazing.
If you don't like waiting, then the new Citroën C5 Aircross SUV is the car for you. That's because the C5 Aircross is available now, so you really won't have to wait at all. And ironically, with its advanced comfort technology, best-in-class boot space, amazing finance offers and 5-year warranty, it would definitely be worth waiting for, if you had to wait. Which you don't.
The new Citroën C5 Aircross SUV is in stock now at Highland Motors, Mountaintop, Letterkenny.
As the exclusive sponsors of the Donegal Sports Star Awards, Donegal County Council take this opportunity to wish the committee every success with the 2023 awards ceremony, which takes place on Friday night, the 27th of January, in the Mount Errigal Hotel. Tickets for the awards can be booked by contacting the Mount Errigal Hotel on 074-9106-700.
Right, we're joined on the 9 till noon show now by Senator Lorraine Clifford Lee of Fianna Fáil. Senator, good morning to you. Thanks very much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Greg. Good morning.
Right. Now, you are calling for the urgent need for a review of the laws that criminalise the concealment of birth. So, for those who may not be aware, who have not heard this described in those terms before, what is the concealment of birth? What might typically happen?
It's a very complex area and there isn't a lot of data on this, Greg. So it occurs here in Ireland, it occurs internationally, but a concealed pregnancy would be the first point. And women conceal pregnancies right up to birth and only disclose on birth, or conceal pregnancies for a significant amount of the pregnancy and maybe at a later stage, maybe that the pregnancy is discovered or that they come forward and seek medical assistance.
Or after they they've birthed the baby, it could be found abandoned. Or in some cases, we've had awful cases and involving younger people as well, where they've managed to conceal the entire pregnancy and the baby died during or shortly after birth and the baby's remains are then found and they're instantly criminalised.
That's right. And, you know, and you mentioned young people there. It's not necessarily just young people. Concealed pregnancies and concealed births happen right across the age spectrum from all types of backgrounds. But what is a common feature in concealed pregnancies and concealed births is a serious history of trauma, neglect, abuse, sexual assault and early childhood sexual abuse. So I suppose it's, like I said, it's a very complex area. But what happens is without any appropriate medical support during a pregnancy or during a birth, it can lead to very, very poor outcomes for the baby itself and for the mother. And there have been several cases. And currently, the law in Ireland stands that criminalises a concealed birth. So if a traumatised woman conceals her pregnancy and conceals the birth, she faces a criminal conviction. And we've seen a very recent example of very poor outcomes and a woman being convicted and sentenced.
Other than a person being convicted and sentenced for this, what would changing the law achieve? Like, do you think there'd be any other effects in it doing so?
Yeah, I mean, the law is very outdated and a trauma-sensitive interdisciplinary approach is required. And, you know, the public perception of the issue of concealed pregnancies and concealed births are shaped by our laws. And quite often, the stigma around concealed pregnancies and concealed births prevents women coming forward. And women who conceal their pregnancies are often described as being maybe mentally ill, of low IQ, or criminal or deviant. And the evidence suggests, Greg, that's far from the case. Women of every age group, every background, rural, urban, and of different educational standards and IQ, conceal their pregnancies and conceal their birth. So I think as a starting point, if we changed the law and got rid of this completely outdated Victorian law, you might have more women coming forward and seeking the help they need and even following a concealed birth. As you can imagine,
Distressed. You or the child could be in danger, but because you are afraid of being criminalised, you might actually not come forward or not seek help for either you or your child, depending on its status when born.
And as you can imagine, there's going to be a lifetime of trauma associated with a concealed pregnancy or a concealed birth. And it's imperative that the women get the support they need. They're treated by medical professionals that understand the issue of concealed pregnancies, that they deal with Gardaí, social workers, and everybody that they come into contact with actually have a deep understanding of what propels a woman to conceal her pregnancy or conceal her birth. Quite often, a hallmark of these women, they're in oppressive family situations, the coercion, control, violence, quite often.
They may well be victims themselves.
Yeah. And that's the point I want to get across. Yeah. And I think we in the Oireachtas owe a duty of care to the women to firstly deal with the criminal aspect of it. And if a woman has concealed a birth, and sometimes there is unfortunately very dire consequences for the baby, that trajectory is understood, and she is treated as a victim, as you said, Greg, okay. And that she isn't criminalised, and that everybody can come together and support the woman to make sure it doesn't happen again. And I think, you know, even the way concealed births and pregnancies are reported in the media has a negative effect on women who are currently concealing their pregnancies. There could be women listening to this show today, Greg, that are concealing their pregnancies, and they are fearful of what's going to come.
And these people can be victims during pregnancy, then they can have the trauma of the birth, and then to imagine then that the state then continues to treat them as victims or actually imprisons them. So in other words, the state continues this oppression of them, in a way, if you know what I mean. It seems unfathomable, really, that there's not nuances there or some understanding to make sure that we're not compounding a very difficult situation already. Finally, Senator, you have a direct line, really, I suppose you could say, to the Department of Justice. What kind of feedback are you getting on your representations?
Well, it's an issue that I'm going to continue to work on this week, and I will be speaking to all the relevant ministers, to the Taoiseach, to the Taoiseach, the Minister for Children and Youth Affairs, because TUSLA play an important role in this, in providing foster support and adoption support. The Minister for Justice, first and foremost, needs to establish a task force urgently to deal with the issue of neonaticide and infanticide, and have that distinction there, and make sure that we approach it and get this rid off our statute books. And Greg, I'm always, every January, I always think of Anne Lovett, who gave birth alone on the 31st of January 1984. So it's coming up to the 39th anniversary of her death and the death of her baby boy. And I hope next year, on the 40th anniversary of Anne and her baby's death, that we don't have this law on our statute books. And that's what I'm going to be working with colleagues to take it off the statute books, and then approach it from a health perspective and a trauma-sensitive perspective, and have all the stakeholders involved, so women are not treated in such harsh conditions and really, really cruel Victorian approach to what is a sensitive medical and trauma issue.
Okay, Lorraine, thanks for your time today. Appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
You're very welcome.
That's Senator Lorraine Clifford-Lee of Fianna Fáil. Right, okay. We're going to continue our conversation about homework, and we're joined on the programme now by historian and, importantly, teacher in this context, Dr. Joe Kelly. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning to yourself and to those all out in Highland Radio.
So is the jury out, from your perspective, on whether we should do away... You're hardly going to go against the president here, Joe. Should we do away with homework, at least in its current form?
Well, it's interesting that your introduction to me, they know that I was a teacher. I'm also a parent, so I see both ends of it. I'm trained as a teacher to understand the development of kids' brains and how they, you know, to maximise education and how to use resources to their benefit. And at the same time, then I'm sitting at home doing homework with my own children and understanding the challenges they have. There is a question, obviously, about the purpose of homework, the quality of homework, the quantity of homework. There's certainly that debate, and it's a good debate. Giving homework for the sake of homework is not necessarily a beneficial thing. And maybe he is opening up that debate. But I think he's misguided in his statement and thinking that by saying that it's the bane of children's lives, and he suggests maybe the scrapping of homework. Education and homework isn't as such an exercise to complete for the sake of completing it. It's about developing independent thinking within the child. When a child is at school or a student is at school, they're being instructed and shown how to think, how to work, and how to do things. When they go home, it's an opportunity for them to develop themselves, their own independent thinking. And it,
do you
it,
think it forced, so? Do you think the homework, though, is designed? I mean, that sounds like what it should be, and it sounds like. Yeah, but yeah. Do you believe that across the board that that's how homework is designed? I mean, are teachers putting in that much thought, or are they just saying, look, do question pages 13 and 14, or, you know, just write an essay about such and such, or whatever? Like, do you, as I say, it sounds like what you're talking about sounds fantastic. Is that actually what's happening, though?
Well, then. The question then, maybe what the president should have said is, like, what kind of homework are we given, rather than we're going to scrap or suggest that we get rid of it? It's a totally different debate. And I hear what you're saying. And look, I think most schools have a school policy on homework and purpose of homework. And I can speak on my own situation. We have a very strict, coherent policy on homework. And again, if you, for example, 9 classes kids have a day, and then to go home and do 9 pieces of homework, that's not possible. I mean, a person's working week is 40 hours, a kid's at school 28 hours. So if they do 2 hours, that's them above the 40 hours of a working week. So, I mean, that's madness. But homework should be something that reinforces the learning that's already taken place to some degree, and also allows them to expand. But there's something more fundamentally important about homework other than just doing an exercise. It's the mental, it's the development of their brain physiologically, that you're putting down train tracks in their heads.
Yes, I accept what you're saying.
Put that down when they're adults.
Yes, but can you not do that in the 28 days in school? Maybe, you know, we can adjust how how we operate our schools and allow within the 28 hours that you talk of the space for that creativity. What we're achieving at home could be achieved within those 28 hours, theoretically, because you say 28 hours, but Joe, you know yourself, you can add on an hour and a half getting to school, an hour and a half getting back, you know, and that 28 hours doesn't belong going above the 40 hours of a worker.
And their extracurricular activity that could be involved in drama and learning lines, or they could be doing some kind of art, etc. Absolutely. And students, you know, are trying to be fully alive, and that's the purpose of a school, is to try to enable children to become fully alive in whatever way they are alive. But at the same time, one has to be careful. Our education system is very challenged at the moment. Student ratio, you know, teacher-student ratio is very high. We have 70,000 Ukrainians in Ireland now, and that's putting an effect back into our schools where there's language problems, etc., and teachers are having to deal with students in their class with these difficulties. And we can't expect the education system to deal with all this. Is the president saying, look, don't worry about your education, the schools will just look after that, and we as parents have no responsibility at all?
But if my child's struggling, if my child is not struggling, is having difficulties at school, is behind the rest of the class, they're sent home with homework that they can't do. And then I'm not, this is just an example, by the way, rather than always referring to other people, I'm not saying it's the case, I'm not then equipped to assist with that. So you've got a frustrated student, you've got a frustrated parent. The parents just come home from work, it's 6:30. They're probably trying to make dinner as well. The student's sitting there with both its head in both hands, or her head in both hands. You know, that's not good for anyone. Now, then there are other students that are excelling, that it comes to them so easy that the problem with the homework, it's repetitive. They don't need to do it. They could do it in their sleep. It seems like a blunt instrument.
And that goes back to what I initially said at the beginning, is the quality and quantity and purpose of your homework. Like, there has to be differentiation. So there are children, for example, SEN, special education needs children, where homework is a challenge for them and for their parents. So again, a teacher would obviously understand that, and the expectation and the differentiation would be such that you would be not expecting that off. But where you have a good student and you know you can push them along, you would be expecting that you do push them along and that they do maximise. And see, the thing is, maybe what we don't realise at times is, if we remove homework and independent thinking from the curriculum, you know, grind schools, are particularly in Dublin, people are going to grind schools to get points to get college. And I think it'll disadvantage the disadvantaged more by not having the homework policy there, or not having a positive attitude towards homework. And the question then that Michael D. Higgins was trying to say was, if we didn't do homework, we would do something more creative with our time. Well, the real issue, and maybe this is the age differentiation with our president, and I have a great respect for him, I'm not ageist in any way, I mean, look at Ian McGarvey, who's retired.
Well, you're not that far behind him. Let's put it like
there
that.
There you go. There you go. I hope to get as live as many years and as long and health. But, you know, Ian, for example, has been a man of great vigour and energy and vision. Wouldn't in any way use ageism. But I think Michael Dee, who's 82, has missed, or 81, will be 82. The average age in Ireland is 38. And maybe he doesn't get the technological age. Kids are spending on average 6 hours a day on screen time. And maybe what he should have said is, how could we look at this and how kids are using 6 hours of screen time more creatively? Mm. And if then they're more productive with their 6 hours on screen time, then we can look at the homework.
But I think his comments allowed educators like yourself to step in and make that type of a suggestion, do you know, because I think really what he's saying is it's homework in its current form. I mean, it opens up the conversation. We're having the chat now. I just feel it's not fair. I don't, like, I've heard a couple of times that you and another guest earlier on talking about how, well, it's, you know, the homework's tailored to the particular students. I know parents are listening at home going, what? Not in my school or not with my student or whatever. Maybe it is happening. Maybe we don't realise it's happening. I don't know. I mean, that sounds aspirational, but you're saying that's what happens. The schools and teachers make sure they don't get too much homework, and that homework is tailored to the student to benefit them the best. Do you think that's really happening across the board?
It's very difficult if you have 30 kids in a class to get everybody's standard. But that's where a teacher needs to be able to, as I said, differentiate. And we'd have that in this school, and I'm sure that's in every other school at length and breadth of the country, where the teachers differentiate. I mean, our boss will send now and again an email to remind us of homework policy. Obviously, there's somewhere one or two parents running and saying they're not happy with this, whatever else. And then he'd respond immediately to that. Mm. And he'd always talk about that in staff meetings, that there is an onus on us as teachers to make sure. And as I said to you, if you have 9 classes a day, or even a national school, the curriculum is already so packed for the national school teachers.
Well, how much homework? How much homework is a child expected to do at night? This will then vary dependent. It won't vary. Sorry, it'll be different homework dependent on their ability or what they need help in. Like, what are they sent home with time wise for homework? Is there a target?
Yeah, well, the way it would be, see, it depends if you're talking about national school and secondary school, you have maybe only the subject 3 times a week. Mm. So you might give homework tonight for history, for example. Well, they mightn't have a history class till Wednesday. So maybe that'll be over 2 nights.
Right, I get you, yeah.
You understand? But, I mean, anything other than beyond 10, 20 minutes. Imagine just you give 10 minutes homework in your class and they have 9 periods that week or that class that day. That's an hour and a half on top of their school day. Now you're getting to the limit of being too extreme. There has to be a balance. Having said that, there is a difference for 3rd and 6th years where they're heading into exam years. And we have to be realistic about that as well, that homework should reinforce the learning and prepare them for their exams. Okay. Because education, you know, the cost of ignorance is a lot more expensive than the cost of education. Okay. And the reality is we've had decades, if not centuries, of lack of education. And when we were deprived of education, and when we got education, the opportunity to be educated, Irish people ran at it.
Right.
And we became one of the most educated people in the world. And like, the question I'm asking is, really, this is the president, is he saying to the Googles and the Apples and the big pharma tech companies that are in Ireland, you know, stay here for the next 15 years, but after 15 years, we're not going to be...
Well, that's it. And I said that earlier on. Every action has a reaction. If you change this, it takes a number of years for it to filter through what kind of an impact, good or bad, it would actually have. It's not just...
Are you telling these companies, don't worry about us in 15 years' time because we're not going to have our homework done? I would like to see the leader of Germany or Sweden or India suggest something like that. And I'm back to what I'd said originally. I think we need to have a real debate about how children are spending time, screen time.
Okay.
It is, and I think that if we looked at that, and that's the elephant in the room, and the challenge that parents have trying to get children off screen time and off their computers and off their technology and TikToks. This is a debate. It's a great debate.
And do you know what? I'll tell you what, we might do it in a panel form down the line, because I think it really is a valuable one and I hope you'll be part of it. Dr. Joe Kelly, as always, thank you so very much. It's really appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.